Today's reading is in Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Mark 14, verse 1. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him, for they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people." And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, "Why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. I'm going to go ahead and read from the book of John for this account as well, just because John gives us a few more details in this situation than Mark does. So if you want to read along with me in John chapter 12, starting in verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. Having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." So there are some differences in the accounts. You might remember that that's pretty common just because they write from a different point of view. They write with a different point. You know, Mark gives some details that John doesn't give. John gives some details that Mark doesn't give. That's all because of what they focused on in that particular situation. But what I wanted to point out was that Judas really is the one that's speaking up and saying, you know, why didn't we sell this expensive ointment to give to the poor? And John says it's not because he wanted to actually help the poor, but because he carried the money bag and he would be able to pilfer the money. And so that's where we get to verse 10 in the book of Mark, chapter 14, that Judas was one of the 12, went to the chief priest in order to betray him to them, in order that he could get some money. So his greed and not being able to get some of that money has led him to the point of going and speaking to the chief priests and the rulers in order to betray Jesus in order to get money. So if he can't get money one way, he'll get money another way. Now, sometimes we talk a little bit about, you know, what were Judas's thoughts about what was going to happen when he betrayed him. You know, maybe he thought that Jesus would escape just like he did on many other occasions. I really don't know, and it doesn't really matter because I don't think that Judas is thinking about that. I think he's just thinking about the money. But let's focus on this woman for a moment. He's reclining at table. This woman comes in with this alabaster flask of ointment, which is made of pure nard, and it says is very costly. So this pure nard that it's talking about is a perfume that was made from a plant in the East Indies, a plant that has a small, slender stalk and a heavy, thick root. And the perfume is obtained from the root, and the stalk and the fruit are used as well, but primarily for the root. So it's not only an expensive ointment, but it's one that's, you know, it's going to have to be imported. So maybe we would think of that as, you know, the best imported perfume that you could get for your wife that would be very costly. So something along those lines. So she comes in and I assume that it's oily as well, so that it has some restorative properties, you know, because as John states that it's put on his feet, Mark states that it's put on his head. It was likely both, but it was something that would be enjoyable, and it would restore the skin, which would be dry from the environment that they're walking through all the time. And it says that some said to themselves, and of course John says that Judas speaks this out loud, why was the ointment wasted? Why was it being wasted? Was it really being wasted for Jesus to have this very kind act done for him? You know, I think about this 300 denarii to buy this flask. I have no idea how long it would have taken her to get 300 denarii together in order to buy this. But we know that a denarius was about a day's wages. So if her income is normal, 300 denarii, allowing for, you know, days off during the year, you're pretty much looking at a year's wages. That's how much this cost. Can you imagine that? Let's just say somebody making $30,000 a year, you'd go out and buy a flask of ointment for $30,000. That's a very large sum of money. And so she does this for Jesus, pouring it over his head or on his feet or both. And they're asking, why was it wasted? Maybe they figure, you know, that it's wasteful to use all of it at once. Maybe they are thinking about the cost. But Jesus obviously doesn't think that it was wasted, because he says, she has done a beautiful thing to me. He appreciates what she has done. And I think that Jesus appreciates it more because she wanted to do it. This was a kind act from her heart for somebody that she cared and appreciated, rather than just thinking, oh, this feels good or this smells good or anything along those lines. She has done a beautiful thing, and he even calls this something beforehand for burial. You might remember that on the third day when they went back to Jesus' tomb, they were carrying many different fragrant oils and spices and things for the body, and then Jesus wasn't there. So Jesus is saying, this was done to my body beforehand for burial, referring to his upcoming death. So Jesus says, leave her alone. Why are you troubling her? In other words, it's her choice. That flask didn't belong to the disciples. It belonged to her. Why did it matter to them what she did with what she bought with her own money? Well, I think they're thinking about the money, especially Judas. But he's saying, leave her alone. It's her choice, and she's done something very kind, very beautiful. And he says, concerning the poor, you will always have the poor. I mean, have we ever wiped out poverty? No. In fact, the war on poverty that we've had, so-called, in this United States, has not produced an end to poverty at all, no matter how much money was thrown at it. So you're always going to have the poor. That's never going to go away. And you can do things for the poor whenever you have an opportunity. But right now, this is a special occasion before his death and burial that she does something kind and nice for him. So leave her alone. Don't trouble her. And he says, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. And that's exactly what we're doing today. We're telling this in memory of her, this beautiful thing that she did for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But these disciples are being very critical. They're critical of her. They're critical of what she's doing when they don't have a right to be. They don't have a right to be critical of her at all. She's doing something that was an act of service, an act of devotion, and an act of love. And criticism, when people are critical of something that is done, that is good, they're trying to negate the good and discourage it from being done again. And what would happen if we are always critical of everything that was done that was good and it discouraged people and they stopped doing them? There'd be no good in the world. No one would be doing anything good. It changes that which is good into something that is seen with a negative light. And it makes people feel guilty for doing good, but maybe doing it the wrong way, according to everybody else. Do good based on what you know to be good. What your conscience that is trained by the Word of God tells you is good, not what everybody else will applaud or be critical of. So Jesus validates her actions, defending her and placing an honor on her, which is still carried through in the gospel accounts today. Let's be more like Jesus and be encouraging in this regard and not be those that are going to be critical of these things. So to pray today, let's pray for an appreciation for those who do good in the name of Jesus. Even if it looks different than what I would do or done in a different way than I would do, as long as it's a good thing in the eyes of God, then let's applaud it and encourage it rather than be critical and tear it down. Thank you for listening today, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.